And the recorder has been started, and we are looking at NTI 2 Corinthians chapter 5, which is on page 313 in my Kindle. What page do you guys have in the paperback? Page 313. So NTI 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This life that you experience within the world is a gift to yourself. It is a gift based upon a wish that you could experience something different. I have told you this before. I have also told you that it is a perfect gift, for you have given yourself exactly as you asked. You have the experience that is different from the experience of heaven. So it's interesting because, you know, the New Age interpretation of this sometimes is very, very specific. Like, you know, you have the old joke about how a person gets mugged, and then a New Age person says, "What did you do to attract that?" You know, and everybody knows that if somebody says something like that to them, they actually feel kind of attacked. Somehow we know that's not loving. Well, what NTI is saying is it's not that specific. What you asked for was something very general. You asked for an experience that is different from your truth. And then this experience you're having in, you know, apparently in this body and in this lifetime is exactly that. So whether you're mugged or whether you're, you know, a CEO of a company and you're very rich but you have lots of stress and lots of things that you have to keep, you know, lots of balls you have to keep in the air, or no matter what your life is, the one thing that life is different from your truth. So no matter what your life is, it is what you asked for, because you asked for an experience different from truth. And it's a perfect gift. It's exactly what you asked for. There's nothing wrong with it, right? And you can look at your life and you can see how it's different from truth. You can look at the world and you can see how it's different from truth. And you can say it's a perfect representation of different from truth, right? It's absolutely perfect. Starting with sentence 6. If this experience of the world is the experience you have asked to receive, why do you suffer from it? It is because you asked to suffer by asking not to experience heaven. Listen to me carefully now, for I will tell you why you think the way you do and why you experience that which you experience. In seeing the desire that has been hidden, you can decide to change the desire. So now we're going to look at that wish that we have in us. You know, people talk about the tiny mad idea as if it happened billions of years ago. But the truth is, the wish still lives in us now. And that's why the experience of other than heaven continues now. So we're going to look at that wish, and we're going to look at how we continue that wish now so that we can begin to change our mind, so that we can begin to let go of it. Verses 11 to 15. Within the mind now, you will find the desire for the world. You will know this desire is, you will know this is your desire if you watch your thoughts. For your thoughts are about the world, and your thoughts stem from your desire. I have told you that your mind is split. The desire for the world is split with the true desire of the heart. Both are there, and so both are in your thoughts. Now, what this is saying right here is, you know, our mind is split. We want God, or we want truth, but we also want the world too. And that's why sometimes we are thinking about God, and sometimes we are thinking about the world. But if you look honestly at your mind throughout a normal day, where are your thoughts most of the time? For most people, it's the world. They might spend a half an hour in the morning with God, thinking about God, and then they might get up from that, and throughout the rest of the day, they might think of God occasionally, but the majority of the time, their thoughts are with the world. And what this is saying is that's because you are still more interested in the world, right? Because your thoughts are a reflection of where your attention is, and your attention goes where you want it to be. So starting with sentence 7, your thoughts form your experience. This is a literal statement, and it is to be taken literally. There is nothing symbolic in what I am saying to you now. And that line was in there for me because somehow my resistance was trying to say, okay, this is just symbolic. You know, because I wanted to not take it so seriously, I guess, not listen to it quite so directly. So that little correction there was for me. That was to get my, put my resistance aside and get me to listen as if this was very serious. If you look in your mind, you will find that your mind is split and that your thoughts are split into two categories. You have thoughts of the world, and you have thoughts that are not of the world. The thoughts that are not of the world are thoughts of letting go of the world. And that could also be of letting go of self or of letting go of ego, right? This is your true desire. But when you look in your mind, where are your thoughts as you suffer? As you are afraid? Or as you are feeling angry? Are they with God or are they with the world? So again, what this was pointing out to me is that when I was feeling fear, for example, if I looked, my mind was focused on finances. When I was feeling angry, my mind was focused on how I wanted another person to be. You know, well, you know, you guys, when we just before we started the recording, we talked about taking that morning time with God because that was last week's assignment. And when you guys talked about when your mind was with God, you talked about peace, right? When your mind is with God, you felt peace. When your mind is with the world, you feel this other stuff. So that peace and that love and, you know, that which you feel when you're with God that makes you love your contemplation or your meditation time, that's an experience of heaven. But then when we're thinking about the world, we have other experiences. When you're thinking about the world, literally, you never feel that feeling that you feel when you're thinking about God, do you? Can you remember a single solitary time that you were worried about your kids and you felt that? Or that you were worried about finances and you felt that? Or you were worried about your health and you felt that? Or you were thinking about a grievance you had and you felt that feeling of God? You don't feel those feelings of God when you're thinking about the world. When you're thinking about the world, you have experiences other than that. So just through the act of thinking about the world, we continue to express that wish for an experience of something other than God. That's how we do it. So it's not like you're literally walking around thinking, "Ooh, I want an experience other than truth," or "I want an experience other than God." But you're thinking about things that are other than God. And as you're thinking about things that are other than God, it's creating those experiences for you.
It's not our true desire, but that's what we do because we're confused.
Yeah, yeah, that's where we're focused. And that's why this is coming to help us realize that we need to spend more time focused on God and less time focused on the world. You know, so, and you guys will remember, those of you who know me, you'll remember that, you know, probably around this period of time, I started receiving the single quiet thoughts because I was doing the same thing as everyone else. I was in the morning receiving NTI and I was, you know, feeling those feelings of God. But then when I got up and walked away from it and I started thinking about, you know, whatever my stories were in the world, all those other things came back. And I was painfully aware of the split. I was painfully aware of the difference between the peace that I felt in the morning and all of the other stuff that I felt later. You guys are shaking your head. You must know what I'm talking about. And so that's when the single quiet thoughts started coming. And actually, the awakening together contemplations are just as good. But what I would do is I would, you know, the single quiet thought would come, and I would contemplate the single quiet thought, but I wouldn't contemplate it just in the morning. I would fold it up, and I would put it in my pocket, and whenever I noticed my mind was drifting back to thinking about the world, I would pull it out, and I would contemplate it again. And so I learned to contemplate, at least briefly, multiple times throughout the day. And those single quiet thoughts for me came over a period of, I don't know, 3 or 4 years. Even though there ended up being 365 of them, they didn't come boom, 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 right? So they came over a period of 3 or 4 years, and I would always keep the last one until the next one came. So I always have one I was contemplating. I might contemplate the same one for 3 or 4 days sometimes, right? But after 3 or 4 years of practicing contemplation multiple times throughout the day, my mind began to naturally stay with God more. I mean, literally, when I am working now, you know, and an email comes in and, you know, there's something there where I would have gone off in a story, I don't go off in a story. My mind remembers God instead, and I don't go off in the story. And I just look at what's right there in front of me, and I feel for what my guidance is. And, you know, it's different. And still working, I'm still, you know, doing all that kind of stuff, but my mind is not running off into these stories like it used to. So I'm staying with God throughout the day. Yeah. So let's see. Starting with verse 16, or sentence 16, actually above verse 16, sentence 16. When your thoughts are with the world, you request an experience other than God. This, then, is the experience you are given. When you let go of the world, you experience truth. And also, when we're in our morning contemplation, really focused on God, in that moment, we typically aren't thinking about our finances or our romantic problems, right? We let them go during that time. And so we aren't feeling the effects of those thoughts in that time. We're only feeling the effects of where our attention is. And right now it's on God, so that's what we know. Now, verses 16 to 21. This is what it means to become an empty shell. It is to let go of the world, thoughts of the world, and the desire for the world. This is to let go of the desire for an experience that is different from heaven. And this is to open up to accept the experience of heaven and the truth of heaven as it is without the desire that it be different. So this chapter started off by promising us that it was going to tell us how to let go of the desire that causes our suffering. And really what it's saying is you need to spend more time focusing your mind on God and less time focusing your mind on the world. Because as you focus your attention on the world, you are wishing for an experience different than truth, and that's where your suffering comes from. You're being given exactly what you're asking for, but you ask for it through the attention where your attention is, right? And so what you need to do is you need to learn to consciously shift your attention so that you're thinking about God more, so that you're focused on God more. And that's how you let go of this desire for suffering. So shall we move on to chapter 6? Now is the day of salvation. For now is the day that you can choose to think apart from the world. You can choose to think apart from your experience. As you do this earnestly, your experience will change. And you will find yourself willing to let go of the world. To think apart from your experience and to think apart from the world is a request that is to be taken literally, in all circumstances, without exception, Regina. But you guys too. This will seem to take practice, but as you practice, the increase in willingness will make the practice easier. Here is how you are to practice. As you suffer, choose not to suffer. Let the experience of the body continue without the desire for the experience to be different. Rejoice that the experience is not your reality. So this can really be talking about two kinds of suffering. I think it's primarily focused on emotional or mental. I don't really think it's talking a lot about physical, except that when we feel physical pain, we often have emotional or mental thoughts about it, right? So in that way, it would be talking about physical pain. But what this is saying is when you are all caught up in your fears or your guilt or your unworthiness or whatever, and you're all caught up in it, it's telling us that somehow if we are resistant to whatever we're caught up in, if we're thinking it shouldn't be here, that makes us suffer more. So instead of being resistant to it while it's here, learn to accept that it's here. And in fact, a really good book that you could read if you wanted to that might help with this is True Meditation by Adyashanti. It's an excellent book about just being with whatever arises, allowing whatever arises to be. And that's the same thing that NTI is recommending here. It's just that Adyashanti has a whole book on it. We're looking at a paragraph. So the Adyashanti book may help you to grasp that a little more. But we tend to try to push experiences that we don't like away from us. And it's pushing them away from us that actually strengthens them. So the more we push, the more we experience them. And also the more we worry about them, the more we think about them, the more we try to figure out how to escape them, we're focused on them, right? We're not focused on God, really. We're focused on that experience. Are you trying to raise your hand there?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
But also by accepting them, you move through them faster.
Exactly, you do.
If you resist, it can seem to take forever. To move to the other side of it.
Yes, absolutely. That's the absolute truth. So what this is saying then again is as you suffer, choose not to suffer. That doesn't mean if you're in fear, you won't feel the fear. That doesn't mean if you're feeling unworthy, you won't feel the unworthiness. What it really means is just relax into it, rest into it, be with it, allow it, don't fight it. Right? Don't judge yourself for it. Don't, you know, make all of those types of mistakes that actually increase the suffering. And I think I told you guys this, it seems like I remember telling you guys this a week or two ago, but I'm going to say it again. It's like that movie, the Cinderella movie, where she came, Ella Enchanted, or what was the name of that movie?
Enchanted. Yeah.
It's like the movie Enchanted when Cinderella came into this world by accident. And she was with some guy, and she got really angry at him. Just really, really angry. And then she goes, oh, that's what anger feels like, because she had never experienced it before. And so one thing that was very helpful to me was what I call that attitude of curiosity. So if I would start feeling fear, what happens is we label it immediately. Ah, oh, that's fear, and I don't like it, or it's bad, or that's guilt, and I don't want to feel this. You know, we immediately label it and judge it. So what I learned to do was to switch out of the labeling and the judging into the curiosity. I learned to be with the whatever emotion was coming up and to curiously notice what it feels like. And, just with a sense of curiosity, a childlike curiosity, like I'd never felt it before. And as I learned to be curious about it, I was able to observe it in a way that was much different than when I was labeling it and judging it. And I was able to allow it, and I was able to be with it instead of resisting it. So, you know, maybe that will work with you. That's a tip, and we all have different things that work with us. But you might try that. Try being curious. But the label and the judge, boom, boom, that's going to probably result in resistance immediately, right? Yeah.
Didn't you tell us a story about Ramana Maharshi when he was 18 years old? death was... he felt like he was going to die.
Yes.
And instead of being all afraid, he got quiet and he said he wanted to experience all of it.
Yes, yes. He went all the way into that. He even held his breath to try and make it, you know, seem more real. You know, he really played with it. He was a kid. He really played with it. But yeah, he played with death and played with that experience of death rather than trying to run from it and push it away. Yeah, he wanted to go into it. He wanted to look, and he also wanted to discover who he was. You know, so he went into that experience of death. Yeah. Okay, so again, as you suffer, choose not to suffer. Let the experience of the body, because remember, even fear running through your body, guilt running through your body, that's, you know, you can feel it in your body. That's a bodily experience, right? So let the experience of the body continue without the desire for the experience to be different. See, that's where you have to be careful, is not wishing it wasn't here right now, right? Because that's actually just resistance. Without the desire for the experience to be different. And you can, however, rejoice that the experience is not your reality. You can remember this is temporary, this too will pass, right? You can have those types of thoughts. When you are afraid, choose not to be afraid by remembering that what you fear is not real. It is of the world, or it is born of thoughts of the world. It is an experience, but it is not real. It is not real, and so it is not your truth. NTI is distinguishes between experience and reality. So, you know, you can have an experience of somebody hitting you. I mean, somebody could walk up and hit you, boom, and you feel that slap on your face, right? That is an experience, boom. But it's not your changeless reality. It's an experience that came, and an experience that went. And you are obviously before the slap, you're there during the slap, which is very brief, and you're there after the slap. You're even there bodily, before, during, and after. But the true you, you know, which many people call awareness, and which I call isness, is definitely there before, during, and after. So NTI distinguishes between experience and reality. And I think one reason NTI does it that way, again, you know, NTI was written primarily for me. When the Course started talking about how the world is not real, there were ideas that came up in my mind that were interpretations of that, that I intuitively knew were very, very wrong. They were disassociative in a way that was not honest. Yes, you guys shaking your head, so you know what I'm talking about. It was using the teaching that the world is not real for an even deeper level of denial, right? Disassociating.
Yeah.
Yes, everybody knows what I'm talking about. So NTI corrects that error in my mind by saying, okay, it's an experience. See, it's an experience, but it's still not reality. But when it's an experience, now I'm not denying it anymore. I have the experience of being sick. I have the experience of being in love. I have the experience of being cold. I have the experience of not having money. You know, I have the experience of having money. But none of it's my reality. But this keeps the disassociation at bay when you acknowledge the experience. So NTI distinguishes between experience and reality. But experiences are not real. Just like when you go to a movie, you'll cry, right? You'll laugh, you get scared. But it's not real. But you are having an experience, are you not? You are crying, you are laughing, you are getting scared, right? But you're not affected by it, yes.
It just, I think when we, that's our big fear, is when we get into some of these feelings, they feel like either we ask ourselves a question, what if it never leaves?
Yeah.
Or the feeling itself presents an idea that it is my reality,
right.
and it may, it will never leave.
That's right.
Sometimes they feel stuck.
Yes.
Like that.
Yes.
And so, yeah, I'm just presenting the other side.
No, that is, no, but you're exactly right. You know, people that are depressed, one of the primary thoughts that they have about the depression is that that's who they are and that it will never leave. People that feel unworthy, that's one of the primary thoughts of the unworthiness, is that's who they are and it will never leave, right? And so what this is saying, no, that is an experience, right? And that experience is really coming from your thoughts. You know, when you're thinking about the world, when you're thinking in that way, but it's not your reality. So, yeah.
This isn't easy.
Why?
It's easier to go through life thinking that you're broken, that you are unworthy, or that you just have depression. It's more difficult, and it takes more, I think, courage.
Yes.
To do a 180 and turn around and look and walk, actually, that big metaphorically walk back towards yourself.
Yeah, that's
in all your quirks.
That's what I was telling Nancy yesterday. We were talking about unworthiness, and I told her that how I let go of it. But I said, I think I was brave. That's the word I used.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I was going to say earlier in this sentence 4 here. As you suffer, choose not to suffer. Let the body continue without the desire for the experience to be different. Easy words, my friend. But it gets easier. It gets easier.
But you have to be brave. You have to be trusting. You mentioned the word trust
prior
to starting the recording.
Yeah, I think that's a huge one for me. It's like having a ladder dropped, you know, so you've got something you can grab onto.
Isn't it funny that it would be easier to feel unworthy, guilty, or afraid than to heal? And you know what else is funny? Is I honestly think that's why so many people don't heal. Because they don't understand it, but they're not having the bravery, or they're not having the courage, or they're not having the vigilance to move through over that hump, to move through and reach the healing. They're staying, even though they're suffering, they're staying on the easier side of the line.
I think some people just get lost in the feeling and they don't know which direction to take.
Well, also I think a lot of people, really, they don't trust people like me when we tell them things like, you know, just be with it, just allow it. It hits and they go, oh, I can't, you know. And I would say it's like not enough trust that you can, anybody can. You know, it's a matter, but you have to trust, I'm going to say us, everyone who does this teaching, you have to trust us more than yourself. And that's exactly what I did. In my case, I trust Holy Spirit more than me. You know, that trust has to be more. If you trust yourself more than the teacher, whether the teacher is informed or not informed, you won't move through it. You have to trust the teacher more than you. Yeah. And that was the only way I did it. I mean, really, that's the secret.
I totally hear you. Totally.
Yeah, that's the secret.
Yeah, and it's feeling it. If it's depression or unworthiness, it's feeling it and not believing the story.
Right.
Not listening to the story, too.
And so it helps to have a teacher, whether informed or not informed, that when that teacher looks at you, that teacher doesn't believe your unworthiness at all.
Right.
That's helpful, too, you know. That's what worked for Danielle.
Oh, yeah.
And she had two teachers, because even though I'm the conscious teacher, Jasmine has never for an instant seen Danielle as unworthy. Not for an instant. You know, Jasmine does see some people as unworthy, don't get me wrong, but she never saw Danielle as unworthy. So Danielle lived with two people who didn't share that vision she had of herself.
Right.
And so it just started to evaporate. Right. And that's one of the greatest gifts we can give anyone, is to, you know, see them, you know, the language of the Course would be as the Christ, but to, you know, see them as, I don't even have a word for it. I mean, and I don't think I like any words. I don't know what to say about that.
The Course calls it charity.
Charity.
Yeah. It says, You're seeing someone with the full attributes of Christ, even though they can't. So in a sense, you're being charitable. And you're feeling them to be that. call it kindness.
Yeah. But you know what? Most of us cannot do that until we've started to see ourselves that way. If I still believe I'm unworthy, I'm going to look at you and think you're unworthy.
Right.
You know?
And I will feel that.
And you will feel that.
If you are judging me, I will feel that.
So what I have to do is I have to heal my mind. I have to let go of my belief in unworthiness. When I don't see myself as unworthy, then I also don't see you as unworthy. It's impossible for me to see you as unworthy. I may see how you feel and believe about yourself, but I don't share that. So that's why, again, when you heal, you're not only healing just for you, you're healing for everyone. Because when you let go of that in you, then everyone else that you meet, you can look at in the way they need to be looked at. Because, you know, most people in the world aren't looking at them that way. Most people are absolutely willing to agree with them that, you know, you're whatever. You know, you're stupid, you're untalented, you're mean, you're worthless. I mean, you can find most people are willing to do that. I mean, with complete strangers in traffic, right? You asshole! You know? People aren't going around sharing the vision of Christ because they don't have it themselves. So when you choose to heal, you then have a gift that you can give to every single person you meet that is actually still in this world a very rare and precious gift, and everyone needs it.
When that sinks in, it's really that. I get choked up.
Yeah. I mean, that's the real purpose. You can't actually heal for yourself alone. It's impossible because that's a selfish idea, you know? But you can heal for everyone. You can heal because it's what everyone needs. Everyone needs you to heal, not just you. And, you know, this is how Buddha set out, right? Buddha set out to find the end of suffering for everyone. That was his purpose.
Right. So when you're totally healed, you have come to the end of suffering for everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wonderful.
Yeah. And everyone comes to that same end at some point, but it's the same end. Because again, you don't see what isn't in your mind. You can still see that others believe it, but you don't see it. You see that they believe it. That's different than you seeing it. Like again, you can tell me, you know, you can tell me how scary the world is, and I can see that you think the world is scary if that's what you think. But I don't see a scary world. And that might be why you like hanging out with me, because, you know, ooh, when I'm with her, I feel a little better, right? Feel a little better next to her than I do when I'm by myself.
I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
For example, in what's happening with the people that hurt you?
What happens with the people who hurt you?
No. For example, you are trying to hurt you,
mm-hmm.
but it came someone and start to talk too bad about you, or she made bad things.
Yeah.
About you.
Yeah, people who do things like that will no longer bother you. Trust me, there are plenty of people who talk bad about me.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to grow in the near future.
while we're on the topic, I just want to say that I think, you know, the way that you've told your story and it's, you know, it unfolds, you know, week in and week out, there's been times during the last year I just really appreciate what I'm not going to say the stand that you took, but it is some moral ground, I guess you could say. And I don't know, search my heart, I don't think I, you know, could I do the same thing? I don't think so. As an odds maker, I'd say that I wouldn't bet money on it.
I'd say
I really do appreciate what I did have a first-hand experience of what that's like in it was unpleasant, I can tell you that. I thought the experience was You know, not something I would try to have, I guess you could say. But having gone through that experience and experienced it firsthand and all the emotions that accompany it, I really did get a real deep sense of appreciation about what you went through and the incidences, the social surrounding the social media and so forth. And
Yeah. Well, and of course now we have a new situation arising, which everybody's not fond of. It's the awakening together. You know, we now have the online gathering room, and so we're changing some policies and things. And not everybody's crazy. You know, not everybody's crazy about change. So, but when you are healed, when your mind is healed, and people talk bad about you, you see it differently. You don't see them as talking bad about you. You see them as talking about themselves. Mm-hmm. And then you have compassion for them. Mm-hmm. See, when we are hurt, that's because we're taking it personally. But at some point, you just don't even see that way anymore. You know, you can see people where they're frightened. You can see people where they feel out of control. You can see where people are believing literally crazy thoughts in their head. But you don't take it personally. You know, they're sharing what's in them. And they're suffering from that. And then you have compassion and you want to be helpful and you can remain calm and you can deal effectively with situations. And it becomes okay that people talk bad about you. In fact, there have been a few people who have felt like they really needed to express anger. And I'm like, well, look, if you have to, you know, shout at me because it won't hurt. You know, so just shout at me. Instead of going home and shouting at your kid who won't understand yet, maybe. Right? That's not going to hurt me. Yeah. Okay, so sentence 11. Now, this is an interesting one. We've looked at as you suffer, choose not to suffer. When you are afraid, choose not to be afraid, right? Now we look at number 11. And remember, that's because you're remembering it's just an experience. That's why you're not afraid. This is not my reality. This is just an experience. That's how you look at it. You shift that point of view. So you don't have to deny the fear. You just realize it. It's an experience. But now we go into number 11. Look at this one. When you are joyous because the world seems to be going your way and today seems to be your day, remember that is not your joy, right? Your joy is your truth, which is beyond the world. Be happy and be joyous. But let your joy come to you apart from your experience. Let your joy come to you from the truth in your heart. Relax in your joy and be your joy beyond your experience of the world. You know, if I say, you know, I'm happy because, at some point that because isn't going to be there anymore. And then I'm not happy. So, yes.
See, Gary Renard, I think it was, had a good statement. He says, there's no reason to be happy, so be happy for no reason.
And that's a good statement. There's no reason to be happy, so be happy for no reason. Yeah. And that's the way I feel, you know, when I'm clear. Obviously, I still have my times when I go back into ego for, you know, for a dip here and a dip there. But when I'm clear, that's how I feel. Just happy. Not happy for any reason, just happy, and happy with everything. You know, happy with looking at my daughter's face, happy with doing my work, you know, happy with taking my shower, happy with getting ready for bed, happy with, you know, listening to another person and having to deal with what you might call a problem, happy to be in that problem-solving solution mode, just happy.
One thing that seems important with that is just being totally in the now.
Yeah.
I was taking a walk out of nature center the other day, and I was thinking about a lot of things, and then something just said, just shut up and look. Just shut up and look at the trees. Look at the sun. You know, and I thought, wow, that really is, you know, spectacular, just as it is right now.
Yeah.
And with the past gone, I was happy.
It's so beautiful here. I mean, we are so blessed. I mean, I suppose maybe that's true everywhere, but I feel so blessed to live here. It is so beautiful here. Lately, you know, with all the rain we've had, all the green and all the weeds, which some people hate the weeds, but have you noticed how beautiful they are? They're gorgeous. And then all the little white butterflies that have shown up.
Well, what's a weed?
Yeah.
In nature, there are no weeds in nature.
That's right. It's just nature, isn't it? Yeah. And then all those little butterflies that have shown up. Those, have you seen the white butterflies? Mm-hmm. That are all over all of the flowers on all of the wheat. And then the sky is so blue and with so much yellow and blue and green. And it's just...
vivid.
It's vivid. It's very vivid. It's colorful, you know. And I do sometimes, you know, kind of feel sorry, not in a, the words sound, feel compassion is better, for people who don't even notice that. Because they're so caught up in their heads, so caught up in their problems that they, you know, this entire season will go by and they won't have noticed it. Because every, it's just beautiful out there constantly. Okay, so, but remember, that's not your joy. You can't. It doesn't mean you can't appreciate the beauty. It just means that when that beauty begins to fade and something new comes, the happiness is still there, right? Verses 11 to 13. I say to you, do not look at the world and ask how you should think or how you should feel. This is to believe the world is your Lord. To believe that is to believe it is real. Accept that it is not real by surrendering to your desire for truth. Accept the truth and deny the world. Let your joy come from you and accept not that the world can change it. So when we look at the world and ask the world how should we feel, that really just, that's the same as saying we believe we're victim of the world. You know, we believe, you know, the doctor tells you that you have cancer. And you think, oh, this is a bad thing, I'm supposed to feel bad now. You know, which most people do, but I happen to know a couple of people recently who have chosen joy instead. So apparently, one can choose joy, one does not have to choose to believe the cancer is a cause for sadness. Right? So instead of asking the world, how should I feel, you know, we're just... let how you feel, let the joy in your heart shine on whatever the current experience is. Peace Pilgrim has great stories about that, but my favorite one was when she was walking, I think she was in New Mexico, and an unseasonable snowstorm came. She wasn't expecting it. You know, she didn't have a coat or anything. She always walked, you know, where it was warm during the cold weather and than where it was cooler during the hot weather. And this snowstorm, you know, was unseasonable. And so she's walking and this snowstorm comes and it's like a blizzard. And she's walking along a dark highway in New Mexico and, you know, there's no traffic. And she says the snow even started clinging to her feet, her sneakers, so that like her feet were becoming blocks of ice. And she's trudging along in this snow. And yet she's still feeling happy, by the way. But she does have the thought that she may die. That she may freeze to die and die. And then she had this vision of a friend of hers, I believe, that had passed over. And in this vision, the friend told her that it was not her time to let go of those thoughts, that she was going to die. And then when the vision ended, she looked and there was a bridge up ahead. And underneath the bridge, there was a big box, like a moving box. And she made it to the bridge and inside the box, there were newspapers. And so she says she crawled into that box and covered up with those newspapers. And she goes, even there, shelter was provided. You know, and her eyes just glow. So, you know, most people would have seen her trudging along and thought, oh, that poor old lady, she's suffering. And she wasn't suffering at all. She did have the thought she might die. And I'm certain she had the experience of being cold. She talks about how heavy her feet were with the blocks of ice. But she does not talk about being unhappy. See, even there, unhappiness didn't have to be chosen. Verses 14 to 16. Do not be content to let your thoughts of the world mix with your thoughts of God, for this is to be content with the agreement of the split mind. The agreement of the split mind is the agreement that is different from heaven. Erase the split that has been imagined by erasing the desire for something different. Recognize the world for what it is, and let the thoughts that are worldly thoughts go with the desire that you no longer seek. Now, when this is saying, do not be content to let your thoughts of the world mix with your thoughts of God, it doesn't mean judge yourself. But what it does mean is, every time you notice your thoughts are straying again, bring your thoughts back to God. Right? Every time you notice, bring your thoughts back to God. And that's why keeping something like the Awakening Together daily quote with you in your pocket so that you can review it over and over and over again throughout the day is probably a really, really good idea. You know, you contemplate it in the morning, you know, some kind of meaning comes for you that's just for you. Well, then throughout the day, every time you read the quote, you're going to refresh yourself on that meaning, right? Whatever meaning came to you that morning. And so you just keep reviewing it over and over throughout the day. Every time you notice your mind strays, you review it again. And that's not being content with the split, because you're putting your vigilance or your love effort into keeping your mind with the quote, which is the same as keeping your mind with God. Verses 17 and 18. Therefore, watch. Oh, that should say your mind. Do you guys have a your there or a you?
Yeah, you.
I have a you.
I have a you too. Therefore, watch. Watch you mind. No. Therefore, watch your mind and be honest about what you see. Remember that your desire is split, but remember also your true desire. The other is a desire of the past, and it has no purpose for you now. Let it go along with the thoughts that stem from it. Seek not the past, live not in the past, remain fixed on the current desire of the heart, and you remain fixed on truth. So again, try and stay with thoughts of God. You know, learn to do that. Practice that. Right? And again, your mind will stray, but when you notice it strayed, bring it back. And you just keep repeating that without judgment. Just doing it. And I always love to use the example of when a baby is learning to walk. You know, when babies are learning to walk, they fall down a lot, but they don't get mad at themselves, say, you stupid idiot, you'll never learn to walk, right? What do? They just get up, they laugh, they get up, and they try again. And so in a way, we're learning to walk with God. And so when we fall down into ego, we just need to get up and try walking with God again. And if we keep trying, every time we fall down, we try, eventually one day we will be walking with God, just like eventually one day we learn to walk. It's the same process. So how about a fairly direct assignment? Usually my assignments are somewhat vague, not as direct as this one's going to be. But how about we have an assignment that everyone, whether it's an Awakening Together quote, whether it's something that you get somewhere else, everyone, every day, will keep a thought with them throughout the day. Keep it with you in your back pocket or in your purse or, you know, on your desk, so that as you need to, you can grab that thought and review it every time you need to. What if we try that for a week? And again, if you want to use an Awakening Together thought, you can just go to awakening-together.org and then click on Inspiration and Daily Quote.
Can you just play that again, please? Because I don't understand what...
Sure. Each day, find a thought that inspires you. It could come from your morning reading or whatever. Find a thought that inspires you. If it's in a book, write it down on a separate piece of paper or type it up and print it and keep it with you all day. And then during the day when your mind starts to worry or get angry or whatever, pull the thought out and review it. So each day, keep a thought that is helpful for you with you and review it multiple times throughout the day. How's that sound? Another place where you can get thoughts is you could go to reginadonacres.com. And there's a page there, I believe it says bookstore is the name of the menu. And underneath bookstore it says free ebooks. One of those free ebooks is Thoughts of Awakening. That's 365 thoughts. You could also get thoughts out of that if you wanted to. So you could use the Awakening Together daily quote, which is on the inspiration menu, awakening-together.org, inspiration daily quote. Or you can go to reginadonacres.com, bookstore, free ebooks, and get Thoughts of Awakening, or anything else. You don't have to use either of those, but that's just two possible places to go so that you have a different thought each day this week. All right, so I'm going to stop the recorder.